Welcome to Security Sales and Integration Security Speaking Podcast, coming from ISC West 2013. Have Sam Doknovich from Siemens with us. He's the National Service Sales Manager of Fire Safety and Security. Thanks for joining me, Sam.
Welcome. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
So Siemens has a big presence at the show. You know, how is that going for you so far, and what is the objective with the show this year?
Well, we do have a big presence, and we have expanded upon our non-traditional approach because we don't have a booth, but we have a room which has a demo area where we're demoing our Vantage Command and Control platform, which is our integration platform that allows cities, municipalities, campuses, industrial facilities to integrate all of their point security systems under one umbrella and have one console and one view of their entire physical security infrastructure. So it improves their situational awareness, allows them to react quicker, allows them to take their security operating procedures, standard operating procedures, and implement them electronically so they can respond quicker, better, faster, and audit their response to ensure they're meeting their own SLAs to whatever audience they have. So we have a demo room as part of our big room, and we have a meeting room for meeting with vendors and partners that we're working with and customers, and then we're putting on presentations on our vertical market expertise, because we believe that this command and control, physical security information management, the benefits you get from integrating your point systems into one view, giving you better situational awareness, ability to respond, applies to cities, higher ed, and a couple of other real key markets that we're targeting.
And I think for quite a while it's been sort of the dream to put all those pieces together, and so now we're seeing it actually become real life. What are some of the remaining challenges in making that be all it can be?
Well, it's a good question, and that's why I'm involved in this, because of my background in service and my responsibility for building our services portfolio. Because where Siemens wants to differentiate ourselves from our competitors is not just selling them a command and control solution, but providing the services they need to take that solution and make it effective. A command and control platform like Vantage is complex, or can be complex. It's like SAP. It's very comprehensive. And in order for an organization to use it, you need the services to support that platform in production. So you need to be able to maintain the interfaces to these point systems. So if you have a couple of different access control systems, which many multi-site organizations have, and multiple video systems, and you want everything to integrate, you have to maintain those interfaces. So you got to provide services to maintain those custom interfaces. Some of the products we support at the global level, but you've been in the security industry for a long time, the market's very fragmented, and every customer we deal with has something new and unique. So we have to provide that ability to maintain the interfaces to the products, because when the point products upgrade, when a new version comes out, we have to ensure that our command and control platform, Vantage, will then still integrate with it. So that's one. Secondly is integrating the organization's security operating procedures, putting them in electronic form, modifying the response, tuning that system as the customer starts using it in the organization. That's number two. Secondly is the overall performance, or third is the overall performance of the system. We have to provide services to keep tuning the system so it delivers the proper throughput, so you can get the data from the point systems into the command and control system out to the first responders in a quick and timely manner, and not have any system roadblocks. And then fourth is just the overall systems administration of that Vantage command and control platform. So services is very important for ensuring that these platforms produce the value that the customer gets.
And when you go in and provide this solution, how much of is there a need to upgrade legacy systems that might be in place, or how do you suss out what will work, what will not work, and get it all together?
Well, in Siemens we have our global group. One of the advantages of Siemens, we're a global corporation, so some products are maintained at the global level. So when the vendor upgrades their product, global updates the interface into our Vantage platform. But because of the fragmentation of the security market, we're going to do a lot of custom integration for our customers. So one of our challenges up front, and one of the processes we bring to this overall command and control project, is assessing the point systems, ensuring that they're going to meet the customer's requirements, ensuring that we can get open APIs so we can do that type of integration, and ensuring that the point systems are going to meet the customer's long-term interests. Because any command and control platform, whether it's Siemens or one of our competitors, we don't control cameras, we don't control doors, we don't control radar, fencing, barriers. We need to have systems that control that. So it's important that the systems meet the functional requirements and that we can get the open API so we can do that integration.
And when you're looking at the verticals that this applies to, I guess education, healthcare, what are some other ones that are very applicable to this type of solution?
Well, ports, airports, seaports, cities. If you look at the characteristics of the customer, or their situation, their profile, it would be large site, distributed, multiple buildings, multiple point systems, multiple customer sets. And what I mean by that, when you think of a university, you have parents that are there occasionally, you have students that are there 8 months of the year, you have faculty, you have staff, you have visitors, you have service vendors and suppliers that come on to the campus, and they need to be able to not only secure these people, but be able to account for them in their overall physical security process and procedures. So if you look at the profile of the company, distributed, multiple sites, multiple systems, and the desire to improve security and get more value from their point systems. So hospitals, ports, cities, higher ed, that's really the key target markets.
What are some of the particular challenges unique to each of those? If you had to say the top challenge for each of those you mentioned.
Well, in higher ed, the top challenge is getting all the key stakeholders in the university to agree. I've done quite a bit of work in universities, and some are very decentralized. We work with large universities where they could have each department. So you could have the faculty, the science, the arts, however it's organized. Each one has their own security systems, their own budget, their own decision making. So in a higher ed, it's getting all of these groups together to see the vision of integration and the value that it can bring to the organization. So you can't manage security by department. Doesn't matter if your arts and sciences department has great security in the buildings if some other department doesn't, because people move around campus and students use all the facilities. That type of decentralized structure is a challenge, in fact, in many of these industries. Hospitals have a little bit of a different challenge because they have the challenge of what type of environment do they want to provide. So they have this conflict between openness, so people can come and go, and you can come in and visit the patients, and security. Years ago, nobody had a visitor management system in a hospital. Now we're seeing more hospitals putting in a visitor management system where you go in, you don't just say, I'm visiting Ruth up in room 507, and they say, great, and they give you some paper pass, and you're gone. They're going to give you a badge that's going to work at a door to let you in to only where you need to go. Cities, the biggest challenge right now with cities is budget. Cities have a lot of vision, a lot of needs, a lot of requirements, but they're struggling with dollars to fund these type of projects. Airports and seaports, they're probably the easiest because it's more central organization. I think in this airports and seaports market, the challenge is legacy systems that may not be adequate for their security needs. And you can't, if you don't have a video system or an access control system or a subsystem that really meets your security requirements, integrating it into a command and control platform is not going to give you the value.
What about in terms of the system functionality? Which ones seem to be the ones that really motivate them the most to move forward with a proposal.
When you say system functionality, you
know, whether it's you know, visitor management or using analytics in some way to keep track of a particular area. You know, what are sort of the main pain points that they're looking to solve?
Yeah, in all of these markets that I was describing, you can look at an incident that happened that they didn't respond quickly enough to. So typical when we get involved is there was a gunshot. Somebody reported a gunshot. And we didn't know what to do. So we got a report of a gunshot. We didn't have any video from that area. We didn't know where our guards were because we didn't have a GPS type system where we could pinpoint where our resources were. So we got some kind of incident going on and we didn't know how to respond because we didn't have enough information about it. So maybe we called the guard and said, "Hey Joe, we heard someone reported a gunshot down in Quad 4. Can you go check it out?" And by the time they got down there, whatever the incident either developed into a full-blown security incident or they couldn't find any evidence. So these type of situations where we can't respond quickly enough because we don't have the data, we don't have the information, really is the motivator. And with a command and control platform, you build your operating procedures so if a gunshot was reported, and maybe you even have software that listens for gunshots. There's many manufacturers of that software. When that gunshot's reported, cameras would automatically zoom in on that area. You would have notification of where all your guards are, either on foot or in cars. You would know where your emergency ambulance is on campus, if it's a college campus, or where your first aid people are. So you would have all that data so you could respond quicker and faster. You would have audio from that site available because once the alert comes in, you would activate microphones. And many cameras today, as you know, have full duplex. You can talk to them and you can listen through them. So this need for more information so we can respond quicker, better, faster. So maybe it's not a gunshot. Maybe it was in a warehouse and some hazardous chemical drum fell off a shelf and shattered and it turns in not a gunshot, now you have a hazmat situation. More information allows you to respond quicker, faster, and better, solve the problem before it escalates and becomes something very critical for the organization.
Do you think we'll see education maybe getting better so that something will not have to precipitate, getting prepared before something really bad happens?
I would like to think that would be true, but I know that typically people spend money and respond after something bad has happened. But there's been enough situations that's raised the awareness. I mean, you go back to Virginia Tech and how long it took them to respond. That raised the awareness, not just in higher ed, but in other organizations that, you know, we need to do a better job at this. We need to really have an emergency response plan. We really need to be able to collect the data from all of these devices in the field so we can assess what's going on. We really need to be able to send messages out quicker to everyone on campus. And that's what our command and control platform helps our customers do. Whether it's going to happen holistically, organically in industries, I'd like to think that because the visibility has been raised. Mm-hmm. There's also an expectation issue. I have two kids who've gone through college. You might too. When I went on my college tours, parents ask all the questions. First, they ask questions about sprinklers and fire alarms and detectors, and then they ask questions about, do you have access control? Do you have video? What happens when my child needs something in the middle of the night? How do they get help? So we're seeing some of the customers of these industries drive an increased awareness and providing better situational awareness and quicker response. We're also seeing an increase in the personal emergency response system market. Siemens also does monitoring. We have a central monitoring station. We provide traditional monitoring on fire and intrusion. We also have a full suite of remote access management services and video services, hosted services where we can host a server for the customer, but we can also manage devices remotely. And one of the markets we're looking in is this personal emergency response system market. There are several vendors at the show who have devices or software that runs on a smartphone. So somebody could be, I did a lot of work too with insurance companies, and they have big campuses, whether it's Allstate or Aetna, the big campuses. Somebody could have a smartphone and they need help, they push the button, it pops up on the operator's screen. It's located not just GPS-wise, but what floor, what room in the building. They can communicate with that person, they can get the person the help they need, or they can respond quicker. So we're seeing a lot of technology changes that are, I think, are going to drive more adoption, because it drives the cost down and improves the functionality. And with young people, I mean, my son and my daughter live on their smartphone, and if you can make it smartphone-enabled, they're going to start using it. So I think we're going to see a lot of cultural changes, too, driving this market.
You mentioned the, managed services, basically. So, you know, that's a big buzz, and that's sort of where the industry is moving a lot, or at least that's the talk. So, you know, how do you determine, the best business model for that, and how do you target the most applicable prospects for that?
Well, it's interesting because the market has been a lot of hype for a long time, and it's because the technology worked, but it was very expensive, or the network connections that you need were very expensive. I mean, I still remember back in my early days in IT when you got a T1 line, which is 1.54 megabits per second, and was like $1,000 a month. Now we have connections to our home that are 10 times faster than that. We pay $19 a month or $29 a month. So we had to bring the cost of the connectivity down first, and then the cameras had to come down in cost. So we had to continue that migration to IP, because the ability to manage something remotely works much better when everything is IP enabled and you can connect to it over a network. So the technology allows you to do more today. So I think if you go back to, say, the Gartner hype cycle, you know, we went through that trough of disillusionment, and now we're starting to climb out of it, and we're starting to see organizations say, gee, I just got a call the other day. It was a utility company, and they have all these remote sites. Nobody's there, but they would like to secure them. They would like to have video, so if there's a break-in, they can have video of who's breaking in. You can't do that without an IP infrastructure. It could be a cellular connection. So the type of organizations that are looking at remote services, remote managed services, are not just small mom and pop size. That's how it initially started. Well, you know, you got the dry cleaner down the street. They want three cameras, one at the counter, one at the back door, and one in the parking lot. They don't want the infrastructure. They're a perfect candidate for hosted services. But we're seeing large organizations now, either because they have to cut back their own internal budget, so they have to cut back the number of guards, and they want technology to replace guards. So, and with IP cameras coming down in price and bandwidth connections being a lot more affordable, we can do remote guard tours. So you're seeing the technology advance, giving you more capabilities, and the market expand. Because it's not just the small companies, it's big companies, multinational companies who want to secure more sites for a more reasonable amount of money. We're seeing a big trend, too, in just outsourcing of everything. Nobody wants to invest capital if they can pay for it by the drink, by the month. It's a better value for them. Capital eventually has to be replaced. Who wants to replace your servers and your equipment every 3 years? And that gets to be very expensive. So we're seeing more organizations want to outsource so they can concentrate on their business. I mean, I teach several classes in Siemens, and I keep reminding all the students in the class that our customers do not sit at home thinking about their security systems and their fire detection systems 24 hours a day. They think about their business. That's where they want to allocate their resources and spend their time. So our job is to offload as much of that infrastructure, much as that management as possible, so our customers can concentrate on their business, because that's where they make the money. They don't make their money managing their security systems. Security systems are an enabler to ensure that the business is open and safe and secure.
So it's incumbent upon the integrator in a lot of cases to open the eyes or inform the end user of what is possible.
Absolutely.
And what can be provided, right?
Absolutely. No, that's just, you sound like you've been to my class, but we do a module on that, because many of the things we're talking about, the end user is not going to know about. One of the assumptions salespeople make is that the customer knows everything. Customer only knows their environment. I mean, if you're the security director of a college campus, how many video systems have you probably put in the last 10 years? Probably one. How many access control systems have you put in? Probably none. You're probably using the same one you had 10 years ago. What do they know about the technology and what it can do? Our job, Siemens' job, is to understand our customers' business so we can find ways of improving their business operations through the application of security technology, fire detection technology, and remote services. But yeah, you're 100% correct. It's all about education. A good salesperson educates the customer to what is possible based on the issues the customer has in managing their business. But that education has to come first, because without that, the customer can't make the correlation between, this is my problem. Oh, you have a solution? I never thought about that solution. Tell me more how that solution can help me solve my problem. So we got to transition from selling product, and you've been in the security industry for a while. In the beginning, nobody had anything, so you just sold product, you know. I need cameras, I need access control, I need door locks. Okay, that's not how the market is today. Now is, I have problems managing my business, how can you help me through applying this technology?
And then also, in turn, building a long-term relationship that, you know, can go on for indefinitely, as long as their business is still going.
Absolutely. I mean, we do want to become trusted advisors. And I think, from my experience in the security industry and the fire industry, that's probably one of the hardest changes for salespeople to make. They have to change their head from selling product and technology to selling a solution, whether it's a service solution or a real solution with product, that helps the customer advance their business. That's a cultural shift that's starting to take place on our side of the house, meaning the integrator side of the house, on the sales side of the house. But it has to continue. So we're working with our salespeople to improve their ability to understand the customer's business, to ask the right questions, to engage the customer in the right level of dialogue, so we can be that type of resource. Because you're right. And to me, that's the most fun part about being in the business. Not selling cameras and locks, but selling something to the customer that actually solves a problem. They go, hey, you know, we had a small casino we were doing business with. They had this problem with valet cars being brought in. High rollers come in their, you know, Rolls and their Bentleys and Jaguars and all these other cars, and they park them and they go in, they lose their money, and they come out and they go, hey, there's a dent on my car that wasn't here when I brought it in. You know, and they were writing out checks all over the place, because they're not going to say, oh, no, Mr. High Roller, you're obviously just trying to scam me. Simple solution, high-definition cameras, left, right, front, back, and top. When they roll it in, boom, take a picture. $50,000 solution, and they were spending over $1 million a year in frivolous claims. What was their payback? 1 month, they got a payback. It was like, great, and it's like, cool. We took this little thing, we solved the problem for you, and that's what we want our people to do, and that's what Siemens is really committed to our customers.
And you come from an IT background. Mm-hmm. We had talked, you were with IBM for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were in that space, how aware of security were you, if at all? And since you've come into security, you know, how has that changed, and what changes have you seen, and how far is this going to go?
Well, that's a good question. So I did start in IT. I started out in networking, doing network consulting with companies, helping them solve problems by applying networking technology. Spent some time in systems management on helping companies manage their infrastructure better. Then I did move into security while I was in IBM, because IBM got involved in security because customers wanted us to figure out how to hook up all this network stuff. Got these big networks with IP cameras. Well, how do we do all this? How do we connect it all? That's how IBM got involved in the business. Turns out it wasn't really a core business for IBM. They didn't really want to be in that business because it didn't help them sell hardware or software. So where Siemens is focused on it. So what's have been the changes in the industry? It's been a change. I like to tell students in one of my class that we've gone through several phases of this industry. In the beginning, nobody had anything. There was no cameras, no door locks, no access control, no barriers. So it was sell them something because they need it. Then it turned to solution sales. Now they want solutions. We got to sell them a visitor management solution rather than you know, something that prints out badges and parts and pieces. Now it's changed, just as you said, to helping customers understand what the systems can do for them. It's become more of a consultative sell. Technology is important, but technology, there's so many technologies, you can always find a technology to do what the customer needs to do. And I think it's, as we mentioned before, the hardest transition for salespeople to make, to transition out of selling product to selling what the customer needs to advance their business. So the market's changed, the technology has changed, and the companies need to change. And that's why I'm excited in Siemens to be responsible for our fire and security services, because all of these services help our customers use this technology to solve problems, as we mentioned in the example of the services that are required for a Vantage Command and Control platform to produce value for the customer.
And, you know, on that sales side of things, also getting in the mindset of more of a recurring revenue model as opposed to, you know, just a project by project. Mm-hmm. So is that still an ongoing transition, you know, sales-wise? And do they realize that probably it's going to work out better for them in the long run to
the salespeople?
Yeah.
They do, but it's part of our education of them. Salespeople need to change just like the technology changes. It was interesting. We just rolled out a series of training for our solution salespeople, especially to get our legacy fire salespeople to understand more about security. And they asked a question. I remember I was in one session, and they asked a question, because one of our suppliers, Bosch, was there doing the presentation, and they were talking about the changes in cameras and how, and somebody says, well, how quickly do things change? Every 5 years? Every 10? And the instructor goes, no, I'm talking 6 months things change. So, yes, we have to educate our own people so they can respond to these changes more appropriately and more quickly.
Well, that's a good point you bring up also is, you know, how do you guard against obsolescence with, you know, how it is going right now?
Well, obsolescence, we talked about remote security management and outsourcing. That's one way. Let somebody else own the infrastructure. Buy it by the month. Then you don't have to worry because you're not invested in that infrastructure. So that continual advance in the security technology then allows, it takes the customer out of that. They don't need to worry about the latest and the greatest. Let somebody else worry about that. And when I'm working with salespeople, I remind them there is really only one question you need to ask to start the conversation is, what do you want to accomplish? And then you really need to understand what the customer wants to accomplish. Then you figure out the megapixels and the lens and the this and the power supply and all that. We have smart guys who can configure that. But we need to have that discussion with the customer. What do you want to accomplish? Then we can help the customer achieve it.
You mentioned you have how many children?
Two? I have two.
Two, and they're grown and they're in their...
25, daughter who's full-time employed, knock on wood, and son who's graduating as a mechanical engineer.
All right. Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree on that part of it.
Yes, and we hope he gets employed too, but he will. He's a great kid.
Well, as a last question, I would like to just ask if it was your own kid or someone else like that, and they were looking to come into this industry, what might be a salient piece of advice that you would give them?
Don't focus on the technology. Focus on how do you have a meaningful business discussion with a customer. Focus on asking good questions that make the customer think. That's what makes salespeople really successful in this industry, and I think it's a great industry to be in. Siemens does quite a bit of hiring of new college graduates. We have a program, our SDP program, Sales Development Program. I've probably got one of the letters incorrect, but it's to bring bright college grads into the industry. They typically know nothing about the technology. They can learn the technology. When I came into it, I learned the technology in 6 months to a year. Especially if you understand networking and servers and parts and pieces, it's the same stuff, just put in a different box. But we take these young grads out of college and we teach them how to think. We teach them how to ask questions. We teach them how to talk to customers. And once they learn that, they become very successful because the customers appreciate the value they're bringing to them. So I think it's a great industry to get into. You know, it's hard with my own kids to try to push them into what I'm doing, because you know how that works. If you push them into what you're doing, they're going to do exactly the opposite. But it's a great industry to be in. It's a great industry to be in when you're out of college and you're looking for the right place to take your business savvy, your technical aptitude, and apply it to helping customers solve problems.
And there's so much upside still to go. So
there's so much upside still to go. I mean, we're part, fire and security is part of our building technologies division. We're looking at more integration between all of these systems. You asked me before, where do I see the industry going? I may not have answered it completely, but this integration of one thing at the center that controls the entire facility is where we're going to see the value. That's what customers want. They want to be able to control energy and their water use and respond to events and control their HVAC systems, their lighting systems, everything, because it's all interrelated. It's all interrelated. So when people leave a wing of your building at night, wouldn't it be great if all the lights went off, the heating automatically shut down? So this integration that building technologies can bring to our customer is where the future is going. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to come into the industry and enjoy that. It's going to be a great ride into the future.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me and our listeners today. My guest was Sam Dokinovich of Siemens, and thank you so much.
Thank you.